So let's say we're going to do today in one day. I think today we should be able to do this whole mitzvah in one shot. Okay, so we're going to learn today Lezecher Uli'ili Nishmas Rabbi Michal Miller's father. His name is?
Shraga Feivel Ben Meir.
May his neshama have an aliyah. Should a lichtiger gan eden in the zechus of learning, and more so in the zechus of Rabbi Michal. Rabbi Michal, your zechus alone certainly does very great things for your grandfather. There's no doubt about that. No doubt about that. Shragi is named after your father?
Yes.
Shragi is Shraga Feivel?
Yeah,
oh, Dr. Dove is back. The return of the DD. The doctor. Mayor is the grandfather.
And my father-in-law.
So. And your father-in-law.
Shragi, yes, for my father.
Shragi for your father. So
there are other variants in that as well.
Okay. May his neshama have an aliyah. Baruch Hashem, he has a beautiful family to carry on his legacy. Baruch Hashem. Okay, Mizmar Nun Gimel. We're up to Mizmar Nun Gimel. Mizmar Nun Gimel is repetition, not is a repeat of Mizmar Yud Dalet. So let's do a few psukim, and then we'll go back and we'll look at Yud Dalet. We'll see. We'll be shocked that there appears to be a repetition. Pasuk begins Lamatzech al Mochalas Maskil LeDavid, a song or Lamnatz for the conductor. Al Mochalas, what is Mochalas? Mochalas simply means a musical instrument. Maskil LeDavid, David was inspired by Ruach Hakodesh. Maskil usually means Ruach Hakodesh is what inspired him to recite the following. Or Maskil means that there is a lot to learn. Study this well. This is not just a song. There is wisdom. I'm sorry?
Was the Ruach HaKodesh on which instrument?
No, not on the instrument, the person who composed it. Mochalas is the name of a musical instrument.
Yeah, but he had Ruach HaKodesh to think this. I'm saying the Ruach HaKodesh was specifically for this instrument.
I don't know what that means. What does it mean? The Ruach was that they should specifically play.
Yeah.
This.
Play a different instrument, but the Ruach HaKodesh has something that this instrument.
The Ruach HaKodesh demands that you use this instrument to bring out the message of the Mizmah. Okay, very well, fine. Omar novel beliboy ein elokim. The novel is a low life. Novel means a person who has no morals, no values. And we'll see in a moment who we're referring over here to Titus. Okay, basically we're going to try to present a theme, an idea, and that is that this Mizmor is almost word for word Mizmor Yud Dalet. And that's a very disturbing thing. Why are there two Mizmorim that are almost identical? So the answer Rashi's take from Chazal, is that Mizmor Yud Dalet is describing Nebuchadnezzar as he destroyed the Bayis Rishon. And Mizmor Nun Gimel is describing Titus who destroyed the Bayis Sheni. Okay, so there was the Churban Bayis Rishon, Churban Bayis Sheni, David HaMelech of Ruach HaKodesh Nevuah, he foresaw that there would be a Churban Bayis Rishon, a Churban Bayis Sheni, and he, in his prophecy, is expressing his observation, and okay, there are many different ideas that are coming out of this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he poured out his anger on stone and wood, and did not pour out his anger on the Jewish people. The Jewish people survived, but the cost was the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. There's a Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni. Each one was destroyed for a different reason. The Bayis Rishon was destroyed because of the Zorah Gilurai Shvich HaStamim. The Bayis Sheni was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. And all of that is alluded to in the difference in nuances as we describe the difference between Mizmor Yud, the nuance, Mizmor Yud Dalid versus Mizmor Nun Gimel. So Omar Novel Beliboy in Elokim, the novel, the person who is a low person, novel over here. We don't know some of the things over here. We have to really go back to Mizmor Yud Dalid. Maybe you should keep your finger on Mizmor Yud Dalid. Contrast the difference between the two, because most of the ideas are really expressed there to more so than they're expressed over here. There in Mizmor Yudalid novel, the Mitzudos David, Adam Pachus Vishofal. The Mitzudos David over there defines the word, and over here he does not define the word. He's relying that you know what it means. See above. Okay. Now, okay, let's go a little further. So, okay,
I noticed that there are no Russian quotes here.
Okay, it's a whole different mahalach.
Yeah.
Okay, it's interesting over here. None of the farsh that I've read over here mention that. Okay, we may have to spend more time on this. Okay, good. It's very good, and we have to actually analyze that idea. Okay, that sounds very good. So here, novel in this more yudal, the novel is defined as an adam, the mitzvah of an adam that is a shafol, a low person, a person that has no values. Okay, let me just find it again over here, the place. Omar novel beliboy ein elokim. Adam pachus v'shofal on page 108. On 108, he defines the novel, and here again is the novel. Omar beliboy ein elokim. Hishchisu v'hisivu ovel ein oisetov. Hishchisu, they destroy. V'hisivu, they commit abominations. Lashon of to'eva. His evil ovel, those two words go together. They do ovel with a flavor of abomination. Ein oisei tov, they have nothing, they do nothing good. Let's see the mitzvah started pasuk aleph and beis. There's nothing good. Excellent. Rak. There's no yiras shemayim here. Rak, ein yiras elokim makom azevar. So over the attack of the Mefarshim, we'll say the very famous vart is that over here you have everything. This is a wonderful country. It's sophisticated. You have everything you can possibly want. You're only missing one thing. You're missing yiras elokim. But when there's no yiras elokim, the end will be murder. The end will be complete chorban. Okay, that's unfortunately that there's a war going on today against Hashem in this country. There are many, every so often you read the news, every so often you read these incredibly ridiculous things. Is it that like we mentioned, a person who is a priest or a rabbi is not allowed to teach in school because he's a corrupt person. Anyone that has religion in his mind, there's mamash milchemes Hashem going on in many parts of this country. It's very frightening. And Rebbe Michal says that's a minority. It's a minority. They sure make a lot of noise.
Yes, they do.
Empty cans make a lot of noise. Omar novel, look over here in the Mitzudos David on page 474. 474 in the very, very bottom of the page. Omar Maskil Hamur Bahaskil Rav. The following was said with a lot of wisdom. According to the Mitzudos, we had this last Mizmor as well. He always learns the word maskil to mean wisdom. Wisdom is not Ruach HaKodesh. Other commentators, they disagree. They say the word maskil is a term that refers to a degree of Ruach HaKodesh. And obviously, that's a very big difference. Ruach HaKodesh is divine, and wisdom is something that you achieve in this world. It's something that comes from this world. Okay, so it says over here, so the Mitzudah says that this Mizmor is this wisdom. It was said al mochalas, which we until now are saying it means a musical instrument called a mochalas. We'll see more about that soon. And Omar novel, who is the novel? Titus. Mitzudos David says this is a prophecy in reference to the Churban Bayis Sheni. The Bayis Rishon was not even built yet. David did not witness to see the Bayis Rishon, and David over here already is giving of a prophecy what's going to be the Bayis Sheni. Omar novel Titus. Said Hamachriv es abayis. Omar believer. He says in his heart, "Ein elokim ha'kol lefi ha'mikre." Oh, Titus was an atheist. He did not believe in God. Everything is just a coincidence. The Omar v'loshon avar b'kiderach hanavua b'mekaymos rabbis. I don't know. He says ha'kol lefi ha'mikre. That's what the Mitzvah stuff it says. Obviously, this is subject to a lot of discussion. But he's saying over here that there's the Ein Elokim, there is no God, nothing. And even though this is written with Lashon Avar, And David over here is saying words that have not yet, not that, that will not happen for a very, very long time. That's the nature of prophecy, that in the prophecy, whatever will happen, it's as if it already has happened. Next. Yes. Mizmor, okay, we're going to try, let's first go through this Mizmor, and then we'll try the best that we can to show some differences, nuances, to show the difference in Mizmor Yudalit is Nevuchad Netzar. Mizmor Yudalit, David is describing the events of the Churban Bayis Rishon that was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, and this is describing the events of the Churban Bayis Sheni, which was destroyed by Titus. Okay, so Hishchisu, who the Amoy Hishchisu, Hishchisu they, who is they, he, Titus, and his nation. The Asu Ovel Tov, they've committed an Ovel Tov. This is a play on the repetition. The word Tov means something that is an abomination. And in Ovel means something that is horrible, that is a great sin, which basically in Ovel and a To'eva for our purposes mean the same thing, and the repetition is a poetic repetition to intensify the terrible crime that he has committed. The Ein Bohem Mishayasa Tov, there is not one person amongst his camp, the camp of Rome, of Edom, who is good. Every single one of them is evil and corrupt. Okay, next, let's go to the Mizmor. Elokim Mishamayim Hishkif Al. I'm sorry? So the two words, there's what Ovel and his symbol. We put these two words together that it is a horrible sin. It appears to be an expression. Each word by itself means a terrible thing has happened, a terrible avera has been committed, and we put the two words together to intensify the degree of how evil it was. Pasuk Gimel, Elokim on page 476. Elokim Yishmaim Hishkif al Bnei Adam. Hashem. Okay, we're using here the word Elokim, the Midas Adin, from heaven. Hishkif, he has gazed al Bnei Adam upon mankind. Lirois to see Hayesh Maskil, is there even one wise man, Doiresh es Elokim, who is a Doiresh? Umo Hashem Elokecha Doiresh Meimach. Hashem is Doiresh. Hashem is a Doiresh. Is there even one person? Pasuk Gimel in the Mitzudois David on page 476. Hishkif Lirois Maseha Omahu, to see exactly what they're doing. Hayesh Maskil Limchois Badover. Is there anyone amongst the nations of the world who all participated? We're going to see that, and according to the Mefarshim and the Bayit Sheni, it wasn't just Edom, that Rome had, it was a coalition of all the nations of the world. All of them sent their neighbors, and they were mercenaries. Like remember back in the Persian Gulf War, there was a coalition, the first Persian Gulf War, and every country sent a few planes. Everyone had to participate with the United to show their partners with the United States. What do they already send already? They sent a 2-3 planes. They sent a few troops here, a few tanks. Most countries didn't really do very much, but they all wanted to be part of the team. They wanted to show it was a token, a statement that we want to participate. At the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni, all the nations of the world, they joined in this coalition to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. And we'll see a few moments in the very interesting possible. Over here in the midst of the stuff, it says, Hayesh Maskil Limchois, is there any single nation that is standing up and says, this is wrong, why are you destroying the Jewish people? Doiresh, Lidroish V'lachkar, Es Elokim Lodas Asher Hashkochosoy Bakol, to acknowledge that there is a God, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkocha is everywhere. Pasuk Dalid. Kuloi, all of them, every single nation of the world. Sog Yachdov. The word Sog is a very hard word here. Sog used means to retreat. Okay, now in this context, Sog Yachdov, let's read the whole Pasuk. Kuloi, every single nation. Sog. They all stood back. Yachdov together. Ne'elochu ein oisei toiv ein gam echad. So sog in this context means they stood back from recognizing what is correct. They stood back from acknowledging the emes. It was blatantly clear that there is corruption, there is crime, but none of them were able to halt, to stop the insanity, to stop this, to put a stop. They held themselves back from protesting the crime. That's how it, what's the meaning. Look at the Mitzudas David. Kuloi sakol ha'am chazru le'achar. They turned backwards. Ufarshu miderech hatoif, and they separated from what is correct. The yachtav together niv ashu. They did something shameful. Ritzoinu loymar. This is an expression. Kilklu maaseyem. They have corrupted their ways. So this is a very unique expression, which basically is saying over here an idea that means a person basically comes to a point in time when you know that what you're doing is wrong. However, the train already left the station. The momentum is in motion. And now you have to stop it. You got to put an end to the madness. And no one was willing to step on the brakes. Kuloi, they held themselves back from stopping the madness.
He abstained from voting.
What?
He abstained. They didn't vote yes or no. They abstained. It's like you're saying no.
Or even if you say yes, even by saying yes, you know it's wrong. You know that this is totally wrong, but you hold yourself back from doing what you know to be correct. I know it's wrong, and I know that I should hold myself back, but I don't care. No one was willing to hold back from the evil that was taking place. They continued. Kuloi, every single nation, every single person, sog, they yachdov, they held themselves back from doing what is correct. They know what is correct, they know what needs to be done, and they, all of them, they held themselves back from their natural inclination of doing what is correct. And instead, they just continue to do what was wrong. Ne'alachu enoiseta. What does the word ne'alachu mean? The mitzudos, ne'alachu means niv'ashu.
What does that mean?
It's the same thing. It means to hold back. It's the same over here in the Zif Sei Zekenim. It means the same exact thing. It means to hold back. Sigim. Look in the Zif Sei Zekenim. The Perish Rashi is al l'shon.
Yeah,
okay. So we'll
yes, why does the Nazi learn the hillback?
It means dross.
What?
Like sigil, it means dross.
Impurities. Garbage. Oh. Impurities.
Impurities.
All of them. Oh, so you're saying a different shot. Okay. Dross, so. All of them are psoilus. Every single member of the nations of the world is dross, is garbage. They're all a bunch of garbage. They're all pieces of garbage. They're all psoilus. All of these members of society, these elements of society, they're all impure. They're all the dregs. You're right, exactly. They're all lowlifes.
The dregs of society.
Kuloi sog. Every one of them is a lowlife. Okay, once we're talking about this, the Medrash will say is sog. How many nations are there in the world? There are 70 nations in the world. Mm-hmm. At this point in time, seven nations cease to exist. It's a medrash, it's a pasuk. I don't know the details, but at the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni, the world was reduced from 70 nations to 63 nations. Seven nations were wiped off the face of the world. By who? By Nebuchadnezzar, or by, I don't know, at some point in time in history, there were seven countries that ceased to exist. So the world was down to 63, and all 63 nations attacked Eret Yerushalayim. They all participated, they joined together to destroy the Beis Hamidash. So Sog in the eyes of the Medrash is Kuloi Sog means everyone in the world. So you have three interpretations. Sog, according to the Mitzudas David, Sog means they all held themselves back. Nosoig Ochor. They all held themselves back from doing what is correct and proper. They know that it's wrong to do this, and their natural instinct told them, stop, don't do this. They held themselves back from doing what is correct. The second.
What is that? What is correct? Is what is
not to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Not to destroy. Not to harm Klal Yisrael. They know in their minds that it is wrong to kill the Jews. It is wrong to destroy Hashem's Beis HaMikdash. They know it's wrong.
And therefore they held back.
And they didn't know. They did not held back. They held back from doing what is correct. They held back their natural inclination. Their natural inclination tells them, stop. Stop. They
same word as siyod.
A fence. They fenced in their Yetzer Tov. They took their Yetzer Tov and they held it back. They locked up their Yetzer Tov in a prison, and that enabled their Yetzer Hara to continue to do terrible things. They all held them, kuloi, every one of them, sog yachtov, together, held themselves back from doing what is correct, and instead...
We can see here that he meant both Perushim, because he didn't put the moon there. So he put sag, so it's reversed.
No soig.
And also, right. Sigim.
Could, okay, right, that's always like that.
That's poetry.
It opens up many interpretations.
Both of them
are possible. Nelochu, nelochu, they acted in a shameful way. The word nelochu means shame. Look in the Mitzuda Sion, nelochu, nivashu, rot, decay. Their morals decayed. They all decayed. Let's go further in the Mitzuda is David. Kolam chazur la'achor ufarshu derech atoiv yachtav nivashu ritzenu la'imar kilkulu ma'aseyem. Okay, pasik ein, there's no ein oisetav, ein gam echad. Pasik hei, halo yadu, poale oven, do they not know, those practitioners of evil, oichle ami, those who have eaten my people, they have consumed my people, they have destroyed them, ochlu lechem, they have eaten bread. Okay, we will explain that what it means in a moment. Elokim loy korohu, they did not call out to Hashem. What does this mean? Pasakein the mitzudis David. Halo yodu, it's an alarm. Ein elokim. How dare you say, how dare you wicked people say there is no God? Halo yesh lodas, lepoli hoven, shema sheoichlim es ami. This that you have been successful in destroying my people, be'ein boiche, ko'oichel lechem. The Mitzudis David is adding in many words, and this is a response to the success of Titus. The reason why you've been given the ability to succeed and destroying my people is because my people have sinned. You have to read the pasuk backwards. It is because the last three words come first. It is because Elokim loy korohu. Who is the subject of the last three words of this pasuk? Klal Yisrael. It is because Klal Yisrael, Elokim loy korohu, that is why, halo yodu, don't you get it? You wicked people, the poale oven, that's the reason why you've been given the success of oichle ami ochlu lechem. You ate up my people the same way you eat bread. When you eat bread, no one's stopping you. You put a piece of bread into your mouth and you start chewing. No one's going to come along and tell you stop chewing the bread. It's easy. It's easy, it's fun, it's delicious. Why have you been given the ability to consume my people with ease, with no protest, like a person chews a piece of bread? You wicked people who are poale oven, don't you know? Halo yodu? It's because my people have sinned to me. My people, Klal Yisrael Elokim loy korohu, they, the Jewish people, did not call out to Hashem, they did not daven, they did not do what the Torah tells them. Torah tells them to do. Okay, so it's a complicated pasuk. Yeah.
I want to point out there are a lot of the elements here of Shavuot Hamasma. Shavuot Hamasma.
Oh, very good.
Asher lo yidahu ka, galam chas asher b'shimcha lo
korau. Wow. Okay. Excellent. Excellent. Okay. Novel is love. Okay. A lot of, some of these things we mentioned. You of Mizmor Yudalit. Okay, we have to first finish this because Mizmor Yudalit is almost identical to this Mizmor, as we said. So you write a lot of the Mefarshim on this Mizmor are really fat. There's very little of here on this Mizmor because they all say, "Oh, refer back to Mizmor Yudalit." Saying very good. You say Rabbi Chol over here. There's a parallel, but what we say Shvecha Moscha is a pasuk. I think in Yeshaya. Not mistaken, right? It's Yeshaya. So there's an overlap between the ideas, the concepts, that appear in other by other Nevi'im and David HaMelech. But you're absolutely right. We have over here very similar concepts. Okay, let's go further. Pasuk Vav, Sham there, Pachadu Fachad. There they were terrified. Lohoya Fachad, Sham Fachadu Fachad, then Lohoya Fachad, Ki Elokim Pizar Atzmois Choynoch, Hel Vi Shoisa Ki Elokim Mo'osam. Now what does all that mean? That's a hard pasuk. Look at the Mitzvah's David pasuk, Sham Pachadush, Ki. Haloy Sham Bi Yerushalayim Atzma Be Ezboi San Cheriv. We're referring backwards, referring now back as an example. But we're trying to prove to Nevuchad, to Titois, you're really no different than Sancheriv. Again, according to the Mitzudos, the focus here is Titois at the time of the Churban Bayis, Bayis Sheni. We're now going back to Sancheriv, which was before the Churban Bayis Rishon. We're all the way back. Ki Haloi, Sham B'Yerushalayim, in Yerushalayim Atzma, Be'espo Sancheriv. Vitzor Olech, and he laid siege to Yerushalayim. Haloi pachadu fachad asher lohoya kefachad hazeh me'olam al ki kulam naflu pigorim mesim. The end of Sancheriv and his army, his massive army of millions and millions of people, they were terrified with a terror that the world has never seen before. They all went to sleep the night before their planned attack. They came to Yerushalayim, Chazal tells us, they came to Yerushalayim Erev Pesach. And they were about to destroy Yerushalayim. And they looked at the distance and they saw that Yerushalayim was a very small city, what they were expecting. They thought that Yerushalayim was a massive metropolis with big walls and soldiers. And they were shocked. This is the Yerushalayim that we heard about. Big deal. We can do this. We can do this in 5 minutes. We'll wipe out the whole place in 5 minutes. So you know what? We've been traveling a very long time. Let's get a good night's rest first. No emergency. They went to sleep that night. That night, Klal Yisrael, they brought the Korban Pesach, and they had a Pesach Seder. It was Leil Shimurim LaHashem. And as Klali, and when it came Chatzos Laila, all of the army of Sancheriv, which Chazal tell us was just an astronomical number of soldiers that came and laid siege on the outside of Yerushalayim, they all went to sleep and they did not wake up. They all dropped dead. Their neshamos were burnt, their gufim remained alive, except for a handful of people remained alive. A few people remained alive to go back and report and tell the world of the miracle. When they started to die, they were overcome with a pachad that the world has never seen. Sham there, according to the mitzvah, the sham there, pachadu fachad, lohoya fachad. It's an expression. There, on the outskirts of Yerushalayim, Sancheriv and his army experienced terror that the world never saw. Why and what happened? Ki elokim, ki over here means when. Ki when Elokim Hashem Pizar Atzmois Choynoch. The word Choynoch here means those who laid siege. Look at the Mitzudas David. Ki Elokim Kaasher Elokim Pizar, he dispersed Atzmos the bones. Ha Choynim Olayich Yerushalayim. Choynoch means Lashon of to encamp against those, the Mitzudas, again, and Hashem brought death upon them, and their bones were scattered. Heavy, and then heavy shoisa. Umash atos. Now we are returning back to Titois. Umash atos Titois biyashto es Yisrael beherig v'avdon. So how could it be then? How could it be the disparity between you, Titois, and your predecessor, Sancheriv? Titois is now coming at the time of the Bayis Sheni to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, and he's given success. There are no impediments. He's able to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. He was able to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, stab the Pareches, and bring a Zoyna and a Sefer Torah inside and do terrible Averos, and eat up the people the same way a person chews a piece of bread. How could it be that you, it's so easy for you to do this, whereas your predecessor, Titois, when he came to lay siege, whereas Sancheriv, when he came to lay siege to Yerushalayim, he was terrified. every one of his soldiers dropped dead. What's the difference? Is it because you, Titois, are smarter, you're more powerful, you're more advanced? You're not more advanced than Sanherib. The difference between you, your success, and the abysmal failure of Sanherib is the Madrega of Klal Yisrael. At the time of Sanherib, Klal Yisrael did Teshuvah through Chizkiyahu. And Chazal specifically focused on the Limud HaTorah. They devoted themselves to the study of Torah. Batku midon v'ad be'er sheva v'loi matzu tinik v'tinoikos, that were not experts in the sugis of Taharas. They went and they were choyze b'shuva. And because Klal Yisrael cleave to Limud HaTorah, that's why Sanherib was obliterated. You, Titois, do not attribute your success to Koichi V'Yoitzem Yod. It's only because that Klal Yisrael is now not holding with the program. They're doing Averis. They're Sinas Chinam. So don't this novel, this is basically the whole Mizmor is a response to Titois. Omar novel Beliboy, Ein Elokim. There's no God. Look what I could do. I could just go and wipe them all out. Everything is just a coincidence. There's no hashkocha pratis. The whole Mizmor is saying, you fool, you stupid fool, Titois. It's not true. Klal Yisrael, this has nothing to do with you. Your success or your failure or someone's failure has only to do with the Madrega of Klal Yisrael, and you and Sanherib and Nebuchadnezzar are nothing more than tools and instruments in the hands of Hashem, and it's not your doing. Don't get so excited. Why don't you study the difference between what happened to Sanherib, Sham Pachadu Pachad Lohoya, Pachad, why? And there, ki when Elohim Pizar Atzmois, Choynoch, when Hashem dispersed the bones of those that laid siege against Yerushalayim in the time of Sanherib, which resulted in there being a Pachad that never was before in the world. So why then was he defeated? And why are you successful? The answer is, you heavy shoysa, you Titois, who have acted shamefully. The word heavy shoysa means you have committed a crime which has brought upon you shame and ugliness. You know why you were successful in putting yourself to shame? It's only because ki Elokim me'osam. Hashem has rejected his people because of their chatoi, because they were nichshol, as Chazal say, b'ayisheni, in sinasim. Ki Elokim ka'asher pizor z'lachim l'cha, hevi shoysa, the last, second to last line of the Mitzudis David, hevi shoysa, u'mash ato titus b'yashto, as yishol b'herik v'avdon, Zehoya, Bavur ki Hashem me'osam, Hashem has rejected them. Oz b'roya ma'alaleim v'loy ba b'mikra. It's not because it's a coincidence. Pasuk Zayin, now we end off with a positive note. We always like to end off on a positive note.
So the Siddur always said that the Ash, in other words, Avi Yosha is referring to the
Ash of
Israel, not Titus.
No,
Biashta
is Israel, no? No, Biashta is the act of destroying the Beis HaMikdash. You have acted shamefully in destroying the Beis HaMikdash and killing many people.
You embarrassed Israel.
Your behavior is shameful. The crime of a person is described sometimes as a shamefulness. This that you have succeeded in destroying the Mikdash, which is an act of shame. Heavy shoysa.
It's a difficult translation.
Umash ata titois, you put to shame. Okay, so he's saying that it's going on. He put the Jewish people saying the shame. You're saying good. You're saying correct. I made a mistake. The subject of shame is going on Klal Yisrael. You have succeeded in putting the Jewish people to shame by harming them, by destroying the Beis HaMikdash and taking their lives. Why? How have you succeeded in shaming my people? Beherek ve'avdon. It's not because koichi v'yoytzim yadi. It's because Hashem has allowed you to do so. You're nothing more than an instrument. It's Zehoi Bavur ki Hashem me'osam. Hashem has rejected them. Oz then, beroya ma'al aleihem, because of their evil deeds. V'loi ba b'mikra, it's not because, like what you say, ein elokim. It's not because everything is a coincidence. Now the last pasuk is a positive note. Mi'yitein halavai. Mi'yitein is an expression, if only it will be. If only it will be, it's a prayer. Mi'yitein, an expression, mi'tzion, that Hashem, who lives in Tzion, Hashem, mi'tzion over here, the mem mi'tzion means the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah that resides in Tzion, Yeshuois Yisrael, should bring about salvation for the Jewish people. When will this happen? B'shuv Elokim Shavus Amon, Hashem will restore the captivity of his people. At that time, Yogel Yaakov, Yaakov will rejoice, Yismach Yisrael, expressions of happiness for Klal Yisrael. Let's see the Mitzvah of it on this Pasuk. Pasuk Zayin Niyitein. Halavai. If only it will be, it's a prayer, it's an expression of hope. What?
With that.
Would that. Shetavoy mehira. It should come very, very soon. Teshuas Yisrael. Look at what the Mitzvah stuff, he adds in a very important word. When it says over here the word mi tziyoin, it means from Hashem who resides. Mehashoichein b'tzion. The Mitzudeh Stavit adds in an invisible word. Would it only be, that Hashem, the one, with a capital T, capital O, the one who resides in Tzion, may he bring salvation for his people. Mehashoichein b'tzion, b'shuv b'eis asher yashkit Hashem es b'nei hashviyah. Hashem will bring tranquility. Okay, so over here that means it's going to be peace. Ritzon Elaymar, Sha'akol Ya'akiru Hashem Me'es Hashem Tiyeh Ha'hash Goto. Okay, when everyone will realize, when everyone will acknowledge that the quiet, the peace and quiet is a result of Hashkocha Pratis, then Yogel Yaakov, Oz Yismuchu, they will then rejoice, Ki Geula Shleima Tiyah, then it'll be a complete Geula. Okay, so this Mizmar is a short Mizmar, and we learned over here, according to the Mitzvah, this is very shortly describing Titus, the major theme, at least the way the Mitzvah stuff describes it, is Titus was an atheist. Okay, he was an atheist. Everything is b'mikra, there is no ein elokim, there is no hashkocha pratis, and he had success. It was very, very easy for him to destroy the bayis, to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, and he attributes this to koichiv yoitzim yadi, and Hashem here is responding. Hashem is saying to Titus, you're a fool, and over here this is called the maskil. Let's study this from a scientific point. How come you were so successful and your predecessor, Sancheriv, was an abysmal failure? Is it because you're smarter than him? Guess what? He had a PhD and you didn't even have a high school diploma. So it can't be because you're smarter. Is it because you have more soldiers? No, he had more soldiers. What's the reason? Why are you so successful and your predecessor was such a massive failure? Let's talk. Everything you're saying, everything is hakol b'mikra. Everything, there is no hashgacha. According to you, it doesn't make any sense. But if you add into the equation that there's a ribbono shel olam, and the ribbono shel olam is hakol yachol, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the guide. The decision all depends on the madrega of Ruchnius of Klal Yisrael, and it was during the time of Sancheriv when Klal Yisrael were with the program. They did teshuva through Chizkiyahu, and they were studying Torah. There was an incredible harbatz asa Torah. Then you could, and at the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni there was not. Then you could understand. So you're making a foolish mistake. Study history. This is called a maskil. You see, according to the Mitzvah David, the reason why it says here the word maskil is, we're talking to Titus. Titus, we don't even need to talk religion. Let's just study the facts. Study the facts. They always say, I'm not familiar with this, but they always say that in West Point, United States of America, if you want to be a good soldier, you got to go to school. You got to go to West Point. They teach military strategy and they teach all the different techniques. And supposedly, I don't know this anything firsthand, but they always say over that in West Point, they don't talk about Israel. They do not study the battles of the state of Israel because it defies all rules. Every rule, it breaks the model. Every single model and strategy plan, the battles in Israel, doesn't make sense. So therefore, they stay away from it. That itself is a recognition, is that milchama, Hashem ish milchama. The rules of war are in the Yad Hashem. And that's a chokhmah. To analyze that, it forces you to come to that realization that it's not koichi v'yotzim yadi, it's up to Hashem, and there are other factors that go into the equation as to what brings success and failure.
And it's all from there.
All Menashe Mayim. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he raises his hands.
Both wars.
Milchemes Mitzrayim, this right here. Hashem Ish Milchama Hashem Shemai. And the juxtaposition, Milchemes Amalek. There are two wars. In Parashas Beshach, there are two wars. Hashem went to war against Egypt and Hashem went to war against Amalek. Excellent. There are two wars. In both wars, it's clear that it's Hashem, and by Mitzrayim it's Hashem Ish Milchama, and by Milchemes Amalek Havahoyah Kasher Yodin Moishes Yodoy V'Gavar Yisrael. Rashi, when the Jewish people, when they looked up to Hashem, then V'Gavar Yisrael. And when Moshe's hands were put down, then V'Gavar Amalek. So absolutely, and this is what this Mizmor is saying in this. Now let's see Rashi. Rashi.
The last passage, by the way, is reminiscent of one of the famous sleepers we say.
Roshev Shavuos Ole Yaakov Yisrael Yoshehenu Leman Shemecha. Exactly. You also had in the Haftarah, I think the last pasuk of the Haftarah of this Peh Shabbos, Parshas Bo. Also, it says this something very similar to this pasuk. Very, very similar to this pasuk at the very end of the Haftarah. Okay, there are themes. There are certain themes that repeat themselves throughout Tanakh. Let's now take a look at Rashi. Rashi pasik aleph. Ludmiz with Rashi. Omar no believe. Ze al titois. So Rashi over in the bracket says this going al titois. Ki she ge raid es haparoiches. When he stabbed. According to Rashi, Rashi is going into even more detail. We have a tradition. Okay? We have a tradition that titois or Rashi came into the Beis Hamikdash and he stabbed the paroiches. Ze al titois ki she ge raid es haparoiches v'charboi mit taftef dom. And blood was dripping. Omar horag es atzmoi. This is a euphemism, and it means he thought that he had whatever. Okay, so this is the kina of zuchor asher oso tzor bifinim. Remember what the enemy did inside. Inside means inside the kodesh hakodashim. And according to Rashi, this mizmor is a perish on that kina, or vice versa. The kina is a perish on this mizmar. This is what he did, what Titus did. He went into the Kodesh HaKodesh when he stabbed and blood came out. What was the blood? So there are many very, very popular mefarshim. What was the blood? So there was blood. Why was there blood? Taka, why was there blood? So what is, I think one of the most popular perushim, you probably heard this many times, is that for 410 years, the Kohen Gadol, on Yom HaKippurim, he sprinkled blood 16 times. The Dam HaPar, the Dam HaSoyer, Achas Lamala, and Sheva Lamata on the Pareches. When the Kohen Gadol sprinkled the blood on the Pareches, on Yom HaKippurim, this was atonement for the Jewish people. What happened to that blood? Well, there's a machlekes in the Gemara that the blood actually is the commandment that the blood should actually make contact with the pareches, or should the blood be sprinkled in front of the pareches but not actually touch? Let's now work with the approach that the blood was meant to actually touch and make contact with the Pareches. So every year, for 420 years, the Kohen Gadol entered, and he went in the Kodesh HaKadoshim as well, but outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he would sprinkle on the Pareches, the Dam HaPar, and the Dam HaSoyer. Calculate all that blood. How much does all the blood of 16 sprinklings over 420 years add up to? It's a lot of blood. 16 drops of blood multiplied by 420. It's a lot of blood. Where'd all that blood go? It was absorbed into the Pareches. And that represents Hashem forgives. Hashem has forgiven Klal Yisrael. When Titus stabbed the Pareches, those 16 drops of blood multiplied by 420 came gushing out. As if Hashem is saying, I no longer forgive you. The blood that you sprinkled, which was an act of an attempt to achieve forgiveness, and Hashem accepted the blood by allowing the Pareches to absorb the blood. You know what? I no longer forgive you. You could take back your blood. So when Titoi stabbed the Pareches, it was a hashkocha pratis of Hashem saying, the forgiveness is over. In fact, we know that when we ask for forgiveness, what does kapara mean? Kapara, there's mechila and kapara. What is mechila? Mechila means to erase. Moch comes from the word where it doesn't exist. Kapara means to cover. In the meantime, I'll look the other way. There are different levels doing teshuva me'ahava, teshuva me'yira. There are different madregos of kapara. And not always do we achieve the highest level where the avera, it doesn't exist. It completely ceases to exist, and in fact, it turns into a merit, into a zuchus. More often than not, when we do teshuva, Hashem says, okay, I see you're trying hard. In the meantime, I will not hold you accountable. I will cover it. I will cover it. It will not be in sight. And but it's there. It's there. And you really need to do more work than it should completely evaporate. So when the Mefarshim say this idea, it's a very popular idea on Tisha B'Av, when we did teshuva for the 420 years, it wasn't complete. It was an incomplete teshuva. Hashem did us a very big chesed. He concealed it. He allowed the Pareches to absorb the blood. But it got to a point where, unfortunately, Klal Yisrael, their sins were very great. And Hashem said, you know what? Not only do I not forgive you, all of the sins that you have done, they were never really forgiven. I just looked the other way temporarily to see if you would do a complete teshuva. Now it's too little too late. And when Titoi stabbed the Pareches, those 16 drops of blood multiplied by 420 years came gushing out. That's the blood. Now, it's a little bit hard to say that on derech pshat. First of all, obviously, blood evaporates. It's not going to be around the next year. And also, Chazal say they made a new Pareches twice a year. Okay, they made a new Pareches. It's a very big thing. This topic fascinates me very, very much. We spoke about it a couple of times. And that is, in the Beis HaMikdash, there was renewal. Where was that? You have the same building. Every once in a while, you have a building, you have a house, a person has a zoichet, money, have a good parnasa. It's time to redecorate. What's wrong? Everything is very nice. The chairs are nice. The floor is nice. You know, it's old-fashioned. The colors are not in style. It's time to redecorate. Nothing is wrong. New wallpaper, a new floor, new lighting, new furniture. What's wrong with the old furniture? Nothing. We're going to give it away to a gemach, and someone's going to be very, very happy. Be very happy. It's wonderful. It's in brand new condition. But, you know, you got to renewal. Refresh yourself. In the Beis HaMikdash, they did that twice a year, it seems. How? A new Pareches. And what was on the Pareches? A new design. New colors, new design, maybe new material. All that's what they did twice a year. And yeah.
Nobody says this. It makes sense the Kohen Godot would be in the Beis Hamikdash in time of siege. And the last place he repeated into that, the Kadosh Kedosh. So he was behind the parochas. When he was came, he stabbed the parochas, he killed the Kohen Godot. And the blood came from him.
No, the Kohen Godot wasn't there. It was on Tisha B'Av. Titus stabbed the parochas on Tisha B'Av. The Kohen Gadol is only allowed to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippurim.
Yeah, but when the last place
where he was hiding. So you're suggesting that there was someone hiding in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and when he stabbed the parochas, he really stabbed a human being, and it was the blood of a human being. I never heard that before. You say something very interesting. You're saying that people were hiding, that there were people where they were hiding. You're saying there were people that were hiding in the Kodesh HaKadoshim in the folds of the Parochas, and when he stabbed the Parochas, there was a person there and his blood came out. I hear what you're saying. I never heard that before. If there is such a source for that, okay. But the Pasha Pshat is the very, very simple interpretation is it was a nes. It was a nes goloi that blood came out. Hashem was doing a miracle to show Klal Yisrael how painful this is for him that the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. Tito Yisrael and his perverted, corrupt mind can think whatever he thinks. Who cares about him? It was a statement. There's a drush that is extremely popular, and that the blood that came out of the Parochas was the blood of the Kohen Gadol sprinkled on the Parochas for 420 years. I was telling you that it's a very nice drush, but it's basically, according to science, it's impossible because the blood obviously dries up very quickly. And number two, every single year they replace the parochas with a new parochas. So, and 420 years, the parochas is not going to last for 420 years. So it's a very nice drush, and it's a very nice, it's a beautiful drush, but obviously it's also a miracle as well. Now, by the way, this is something else. From where did he stab the parochas? This is not. Did he stab the parochas from the outside going in or from the inside going out? It says that he stabbed the parochas. Was he standing outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim and he stabbed the parochas? Or did he enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and he stabbed the parochas from inside going outside?
There was a double parochas.
You're saying very good. So it's just, you look at the keynotes, and the keynotes, it's mashma that he was inside. And the average person thinks he's on the outside. He's on the outside. He's coming towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he's standing outside, and he stabs the parochas. He puts his sword into the curtain going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But if you read the keynote very carefully, it would appear that he was on the inside. He was on the inside, and he stabbed it going to the outside. Lamai Nafkamina, I don't know. There is something to talk about. All right, let's go further. Let's go ahead in the Rashis. Kuloi Sog. So this is what he's over here. This is turning the Titus. Okay, next. Pasik Dalit. Kuloi Sog. So we learned in the Mitzudai stuff, as Mordechai pointed out, Mitzudai stuff is Kuloi Sog. It means Nosoig. Nosoig Ochar. Every single person held himself back from doing what is correct. Every person in the world knew that this is wrong. It is wrong. It is abusive. It is illegal. It is criminal to do this. So stand up. Take step up and speak up. And speak up. No. They held themselves back from doing what is correct. That's a very powerful mussar, because in life, very often we're faced with these type of things. Is where we know it's wrong. But listen, the momentum, I can't fight City Hall. I can't fight, what do I need? Lomali litzara hazayis. If I'm gonna speak up, I'm gonna say what I feel to be is totally wrong, that I'm gonna be shouted down.
If everyone's going the other way.
Right, so what do I need this for? So I'll go along with it. They'll pay me for it as well. Everything will be good and fine. See, we're eventually the Ribbono Shel Olam will eventually catch up with us. Everyone knew what they were doing was wrong, and yet they all held back from putting an end to the madness. That's the Mitzudos David. Rashi, as Rav Mordechai pointed out, says Loshem Sigim, dross. Drosses, the impurities of metal, silver, when silver begins to tarnish, there are impurities which come to the surface, some chemical change. Kaspei choyol lisigim, your silver turned into dross. Okay, gold, by the way, gold never tarnishes. Okay, these are chemical, you have to know chemistry, how all this works. Gold, you don't need a pot. They don't make gold polish. Go into the store. Can I please buy gold polish? Gold doesn't tarnish. You don't need gold polish. And if the gold begins to tarnish, you know that it's not real gold. It's an alloy. You know that someone's been playing around with it. But silver tarnishes. So it says over here, all of you people, you have all rotted. Tarnish represents decay. Humanity has decayed. Moral standing of society has sunk to a low level. You're all kulois. It's a very nasty statement. It's like saying you're all a bunch of lowlifes. You're all a bunch of criminals. You're all a bunch of good for nothings. It's like a real dirty word. Kuloi, you're all scum. You want me to go on? Reveal my vocabulary. Kuloi sug. You're all a bunch of good for nothings. Ein gam echad mikol chayolav she yimache biyado. None of his soldiers, none of his military men told Titois, cut out the nonsense. Pasuk hey, halo yesh leida le'ich le'ami kemachal lechem. V'Hashem loy korahu she soifam she yifchadu shampachal be'achris hayomim. So it seems over here, it's not clear what Rashi said, but it would appear that Rashi, I would assume, is disagreeing with the idea of the Mitzudas. The Mitzudas says, when it says V'Hashem loy korohu, the subject of those words are Klal Yisrael. The reason why you have been granted success in doing what you've did is because my people have not called out to Hashem. I don't know if that's what Rashi says. He's not saying that. He's saying that you people are so bad, you will not arise at the end of Achris Hayamim, when V'hoyo Hashem l'melech al kol aretz b'yoymahu yihyeh Hashem echad u'shmo echad. You will not be part of that. There will be nations in the world that will participate at the end of days. V'hoyo Hashem l'melech al kol aretz b'yoymahu yihyeh Hashem echad u'shmo echad. Not only by us, by the Umay Soilam, but there are some nations that are so evil, that are so bad, they will not merit to witness the Hoya Hashem l'melech al kol aretz. They're going to be obliterated. I think that's what he means to halo yesh le'da lo'ich le'ami. Those wicked people who eat up my people like bread, they just destroy them. V'Hashem lo'y koro. They will not merit. They did not, but everything over here in the prophecy is like the past tense, the future tense, all. You're not going to lose points on an exam for past and future tense on when it comes to prophecy, because whatever happened will happen in the future. Okay, Hashem loy karahu she soifam, their end will be she yifchadu sham pachad the achris hayamim. Okay, so
did they not know that this was going to happen to them?
What do you mean? Let's read the pasuk inside. According to Rashi, haloi yodu poale oven. Do you not know? Do you not know, you practitioners of evil? Who are the practitioners of evil? They are these people who are oichle ami ochlu lechem, people who eat up by people the way you eat up bread. Do you not know Elokim loy korou? That you will not merit. Is that what Rashi is saying? No? What is Rashi saying then?
That you're not attributing anything to God. Looking at the translation.
That it was not God that did it.
Let me read the translation. Should not those who devour my people with a meal of bread and who did not call upon Hashem know that ultimately they will experience there a great fear at the end of days?
Okay, so he's saying very simply is that these people have absolutely no Yiras Elokim. Elokim Loikro, you people, it's defining who are practitioners of evil. People who are practitioners of evil are people who Elokim lo yikarahu, people that are not religious. If you have no morals, you have no belief in God, that automatically makes you a poale oven. You will memela succumb to your lowest nature, your base nature, and you will be a practitioner of evil, and will end up oichle ami ochlu lechem. So it's a description of poale oven. A description of poale oven, people who Elokim lo yikaro. That's very different than the Rashi. The Mitzvah says it's giving you a reason. The reason why you've been granted success to do what you've done, eat up my people like you eat bread, is because I didn't protect them. Why did I not protect my people? It's because my people have sinned. Elokim lo yikarahu. Rashi says, no, that's not what it means. What it means over here, we're just simply describing the evil doers of the world. The evil doers of the world are people that do not believe in God. You have to ask a politician, do you believe in God? Ask them straight out, do you believe in God? How come they never ask that on an interview, in a committee, in a Senate hearing, when they want to take a judge or take anyone? Just ask them straight out. Sir, you've been nominated to be a justice in the Supreme Court of the United States of America. Can we ask you a very simple question? Do you believe in God?
Because if they answer yes, they won't
go. Exactly. Do you know? Yeah, what do they care? It's a ceremony. Let them say. You can tell a lot how they'll say it. Do you believe in God? Tell us about God. Let's talk about religion. What do you believe in? Let's just talk about. Let's not even talk about. Do you know the law? You don't know the law. He asked them some basic questions. Do you know what it says in the Constitution? Did you ever read the Constitution? You're going to be a justice to uphold. You never read your entire life. You're going to be. I know. Do you know what this amendment is? Do you know anything? You're here you're a candidate. You don't even know what it says in the Constitution. Well, do you know what the Declaration of Independence is? And you want to be the Supreme Court Justice of the United States of America? It's a joke. We're living over a Purim spiel. Forget about it. You know what? You can be moichel all that. Ask these people, do you believe in God? Just basic questions of emunah. And if they say nothing, their heads are empty, this is going to be a churban she'en kamohu. Rak ein yiras elokim b'makom hazeh v'haroguni al devar ishti. They will destroy the world. You give a person power, and they have absolutely no yiras elokim, you're finished. It's a churban she'en kamohu. And oh yeah, they say God, yeah, they don't believe a word, they don't believe it, they just want need a few more votes, so they'll say it. You can right away smell a rat, very, very easy to smell a rat, and that should be a very important, liberals, they became mamash meshuggah. So over here, Rashi is very, very important. He says, Elokim lo yikarahu is a description of practitioners of evil. They go hand in hand. A person who has a moral conscience, a person who has a belief in the divine, is a different category, a completely different breed. Those are people who are sog, are people who are not sog, who will stand up and make a macha and will not allow a harm to come to this world. Okay, so next Rashi, Pasuk Vav, Sham Pachad Pachad Lohoya Pachad, Zeke Pachad Rishon She'era Li Baal Shetzar. Rashi obviously here is something totally not like the Mitzudos. And we're not here coming to contrast Titois with Sancheriv. We're coming to contrast him with Baal Shetzar. Baal Shetzar basically is the end of Nebuchadnezzar, the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, the end of the era of the Malchus of Rome, of Bavel. Bavel came to an end on that fateful night when Daniel was in the palace of Belshazzar in Elam, and on the wall there was handwriting, and Hashem was sending a message that the 70 years of Nebuchadnezzar have come to an end. Nebuchadnezzar, his son Evel Meroidach, and now Baal Shetzar, three generations, which we really know there were really five. There were really five people in between. According to a lot of the experts, there were really five different generations, but the other two are not so important, so we don't even mention them. But there was Nebuchadnezzar, Evel Meroidach, and his aunt Baal Shetzar. And really there was a hangover, Vashti. Vashti was really the next generation, which extended into the Malchus of Paras Umadai. She was a what? Haman, he was hung. So over here, Lohoya Pachad Ze, Ki Pachad Harishon She'era Lebal Shetzar. Ki Begu'ula Zo, in this redemption, now he writes over here, this Geula, Pizar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Atzmoy Schoinach, HaChoinim Olayich Yerushalayim, Kinyin Shenemar, HaMek Bissaroy, V'chein Pasha Menachem V'dunash, Pasha Oysa K'moy Chanoich Lanar Al Pidarkoi, Okay, now that's going to be saying of many things in one time. Let's just look over here in a moment in the Sif Sein Zekanim. What is Ritzon Olaymar? Shezeh Pachad Kosha Meharishon. What's happening now at the time of Titus, or what will come to him? First of all, Rashi over here is describing over here the end of Rome. It appears that Rashi is coming to totally disagree with the Mitzudas. The Mitzudas says that the Pachad we're describing over here, Titus is a success. According to the Mitzudas, we're coming to contrast the success of Titus versus the failure, the defeat of Sancheirav. According to Rashi, we're coming to describe the failure or the end, the Chorban of Titus, which means Achris Hayamim, Kineged, the Chorban of Nebuchadnezzar. Completely different focus. Again, Ritzon Olaymar, Shezeh HaPachad Kosha Meharishon, VeHaloshen Kitzos Kosha, VeEfshe Shesorach Olaymar, the words of Rashi are very hard to make sense of. Lohoya Pachad Zeh, Ba Pachad Bebeis, Ritzon Olaymar, ShebePachad Harishon, Lohoya Pachad, because it was not like this. Rashi, in the previous Rashi, says, Ba'acharis Hayomim. We're describing now what's going to happen to the nation of Edom. Edom is going to be obliterated. And the terror that's going to come upon them when their days come to an end is going to be infinitely greater than the terror that came upon the end of the Malchus of Babel. The end of the Malchus of Babel was when Modai, Daryovesh HaModi, entered into the palace of Baal Shetzar in Elam, that was the palace of Babel, and wiped them out. And they were terrified. There was a pachad. But that pachad was child's play relative to the pachad that will come upon Edom in Achris Hayamim when it comes to an end. That's what Rashi appears to be saying. And go back, look at the Rashi. Go back and look at Pasuk Hey. Hey and Vav together. Halo, yesh leida lo ichle ami k'machal lechem Hashem lo korohu. You should be aware, you evildoers, titois, v'chol hanilvim alof, let me make you aware of something. Watch out, you rishoim, you poale oven, Hashem loy korohu, you rishom. Let me tell you something about what's going to happen to you be'achris hayamim. Let me tell you, yesh leida loychli ami kamach lechem alechem ava Hashem loy korohu. Shesoifam, Rashi is adding words into the pasuk, that your end is coming. Shesoifam, sheyifchadu shom pachad be'achris hayamim. A pachad that never was. Even the other nation that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, namely Nebuchadnezzar, who destroyed the Bayis Rishon, they did not have the type of pachad that you're going to get in the end of days. Lohoya pachad ki ze kapachad harishon she'era. Over here he says there's some corruption of the text, but the basic is Lohoya ki pachad harishon she'era leval shetzar ki bigu'ula zoi, because when Hashem is going to redeem the Jewish people, and he's going to destroy Yerushalayim, he's going to scatter your bones, Nigulazu Pizar Kadosh Baruch Hu Atzmai Schoinach, Hashem will go scatter the bones of those who have laid siege to the souls of the people. Hachoinim Olach Yerushalayim King in Shenemar, like what it says in what it says in Zechariah in the battle of Milchemes Goig Umagoig, Hamek Bisaro, their flesh will melt. V'chein Pisha Menachem V'dunish Pasa Oisa Kimo Chanoich Lanal Pidarkoi. The word over here, those who, how does he learn over here? The chav shel choynach he yisoy b'mila, okay, b'mila ki chav shel chanoich. The dunash pas also kimo chanoich lanar al pi darko, which means to teach. Hashem will scatter the bones of the choynach. Aha, the bones of those who have been trained for battle. Excellent. Okay. So either it means according to both opinions, it refers to our enemy, and either the enemy that is laying siege, or the enemy that has been trained at West Point, been trained in the art of war. Okay, let's go to finish up. Heavy shoisa ato Hashem es kol oivai. David concludes, Hashem, you will put to shame, or you have put to shame all of my enemies. Not like the Mitzudos that describes this, referring to what Titus did to the Jewish people. But David over here is saying that Hashem will defeat my enemies. You put them to shame. Ki ma'asam, because you, Hashem, have rejected our enemies. Not like the Mitzudos that understands the subject. The word ma'asam refers to the Jewish people. And then on the next page, that's it. There's no more Rashi. Okay, so therefore, basically, to sum up, we'll stop over here. To sum up here, so we have here a major machloikis between the Mitzudos and Rashi as to understand this Mizmar. They both agree that the Mizmar is focusing on Titus HaRasha, who destroyed the Bayis Sheni. Okay, according to the Mitzudos, we're saying to Titus, you're a fool. You think there is no Elohim. Ridiculous. Why don't you go study history? Sanheriv was much more powerful than you, and he was defeated. Why was he defeated, not you? It's because then my people did teshuva, now they did not. Rashi doesn't learn like that. Rashi learns the entire focus here. We're not coming to contrast, to make give a message, and to study the difference between one battle and another battle. We're just over here coming to acknowledge the wickedness of Titus HaRasha, who is a poel oven, who has consumed my people like you eat bread, who is a person that has no yiras Elokim, ain Elokim. And don't worry, your end will come. And your end will be even more magnificent than the end of Nebuchadnezzar. You and Nebuchadnezzar have something in common. You destroyed my house. Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Bayis Rishon, and you destroyed the Bayis Sheni, and you have a lot in common. But guess what? Your end will be even more magnificent than his end. When he came to an end, it was his grandson, Belshazzar, in a palace, hand running on the wall. They were terrified, and they were all dead before they turned around. You, Titus, you'll also come to an end. Be'achris Hayamim, your nation, Edom, will be obliterated, and there will be a pachad amongst Edom like there never was in the history of the world, as it says in Sefer Zechariah, that the flesh upon man's bones will melt, the bones will be dispersed, and you'll get what you deserve. And David concludes, and Hashem, you will do this because they are my enemies, and Hashem, you will put them to shame, you will put these people to shame because you have rejected these wicked people. And we're looking forward to this day, Miyitein Mitzion Yeshuas Yisrael, when Hashem will restore the captivity, the Goylim, will restore the She'eris HaPleita and Golus, the Shuas Amoy. We will merit these things. Okay, so we've gone through today. Yes.
None of this existed.
Right. A lot of the Mizmorim are learned like this. Rashi saying, right, that's a big problem. In Nevua. A lot of, we learned so many mitzvahs. So you're asking a question, isn't this Kesuvim? Kesuvim, you want to learn about Nevuah, prophecies, all the future. This is Tehillim. Tehillim is not Nevuah. it's part of the Sifrei Kisuvim. So you don't expect there to be visions of the future and descriptions of the future, yet we do this all the time. The whole, according to Rashi, it's explicit. Even the Mitzudas does this half the time. Well, these are visions of David. So why isn't Sefer Tilim in Sefer Nevi'im? Why is Sefer Tilim in Kisuvim? Hey, this is an old question. Okay, so obviously there are many dimensions. There's a very fine point difference between the Kisuvim and Nevi'im we discuss sometimes. But no, this is very much like you're learning a Sefer Nevi'im. We are describing the events of the future. So we learned today two different Mahalchim in this Mizmar. We now have to spend one more day on this and compare this to Mizmar Yudalid, where it's almost identical, bring out different nuances, because Mizmar Yudalid was describing the Nebuchadnezzar, and this is describing Titus. That's by Yisrishus, by Yisheni, and there are some very important nuances, and there are a few other little things I want to bring out before we go on to Mizmar Nunhei. Okay, let's take a short break, and then we'll talk about Shiras Hayam. Shabbos Shira. Oh,